So there are two things, there are two ways, you know, to go to get calm. That is anapanasati, observing the breath around the tip of the nose, knowing that the breath goes in, knowing that the breath goes out, knowing that the breath is deep or shallow, rough or detailed, yeah, subtle, yeah. Or we can, you know, for people who think a lot, it is much better, you know, to use puttu. Yeah? And if it is too difficult, we can use put with breathing in and do with breathing out. Yeah, so we can combine it. Yeah? Until we get calm, you know, and once we get calmer, yeah, once the mind gets calmer, you know, one, either the Buddha falls away or the breath falls away. And then we just stick with the breath or with the Buddha, whatever remains, yeah. And we don't let go of the breath, and then we don't let go of the Buddha, yeah. We keep it, you know, until the mind is completely calm, until there is no more other thoughts coming in, and no more other memories coming up. Yeah? And even then, we keep it, yeah. We keep it the breath, yeah. We don't let go of the breath, yeah. And the breath does not disappear. Does not disappear. If, yeah. Before, you know, when the mind gets extremely calm, yeah, and when it gets extremely subtle, we know the breath, yeah. We don't feel it anymore, yeah. Once you don't feel it anymore, you will know it, yeah. Because the knowingness of the citta knows that the breath goes in, knows that the breath goes out. And that is the important thing, yeah. So when there is no more feeling of the breath, you know, the knowing becomes stronger. And actually, it is more accurate, you know, than before the feeling of the breath. So, and then we go deeper and deeper, and then suddenly, you know, over the time, you know, the body starts to disappear. Yeah? I mean, the arms and the legs and everything starts to disappear, but the breath is still there. Until we are only aware of this part of the body where the citta is. Yeah? And then the breath will stop. It will really stop. Yeah? And then we jump to the one who knows that the breath has stopped. Yeah? And we don't worry about it. We don't die. Yeah? Nobody has died before. The breath, just remember, the breath does not disappear. It is only our interest that disappears. Because we have something better, you know, to look for the feelings that arise or that feeling that arise, yeah. But the breath does not disappear. And it is the same with the Buddha, yeah. When we repeat the Buddha, you know, the Buddha, the mind becomes so one-pointed, yeah, pretty much one-pointed that we cannot think one Buddha anymore, yeah. I mean, it gets so concentrated. And then we do the same thing, then we jump to the knowingness. And then, yeah, the whole world disappears, the whole universe disappears, and we are gone. Yeah, we are not there anymore. So I mean, there's a nice example of this. It's called Apanasamadhi. Yeah? There's a nice example that at the time, you know, when Lungta Mahabua, after the meal, he gave a talk. Yeah, and the lay people, you know, were going and listening to this talk. Yeah, and there was one older lay person who listened to this talk. And while listening to this talk, yeah. I mean, he went into Apanasamadhi. So when Lungta Mahabua ended his talk, this person was still sitting there. Yeah? And he didn't want to get up. You know, the people, you know, trying to wake him up. He was not there. Then Lungta said, okay, carry him back to his home. Yeah? And a few hours later, you know, he was back at his home. You know, he went out of Apanasamadhi. So we have no feeling whatsoever for the body. They can do everything with our body and we won't know it because we are not there anymore. So this is Apanasamadhi. Yeah? And Lungta Mahabua also calls it the privy of Nibbana. That's when we want to know what Nibbana is, that's where we go and have a look, yeah? And I can promise you the moment you come out, you want to go back in again. Because this world is, you know, I mean, the senses constantly bombard us. Constantly there's this sense is the sense of seeing, the sense of feeling, the sense of touching, the sense of feeling, yeah, and so on. The sense of smelling. And these senses are constantly there and constantly bombarding us, constantly, you know, creating troubles within the citta. Yeah? And when you come out of Apana Samadhi, you will see it very clearly, yeah? How much it is there. And if you have been in Apana Samadhi or even in deep Samadhi for a long time, yeah, you will see how your personality is created once you come out. Because at that time you don't have any personality. There is nobody there. Yeah? There is no man, there is no woman, there is no I, there is nothing there. Yeah? There is just the full experience. Yeah? And then you come out of this, and then you see, you know, I mean, you don't know who you are, you don't know where you are, you don't know what is going on, but through the memories that are coming back and through the thoughts that are coming back, then you see how your personality is created. Yeah? I mean, it is a very good experience, you know, you see that everything is, you know, just an illusion. Yeah? That's where you can clearly see that the things are just an illusion. Yeah? We live in the illusion of our memories and thoughts most of the time. Yeah? Most of the people just live in their thoughts. Yeah? They can't even stop thinking. Yeah? Yeah? We are so attached to our thoughts and memories. Yeah? We can't let go of them. Yeah? And that's why people, you know, often people are afraid, you know, even going to samadhi where the thoughts and memories are stopped. Yeah? But there's still, you know, a wonderful world of experience. There's just pure experience without anybody, suddenly anybody, nobody is commenting on what this experience is. Yeah? Yeah? Nobody tells us, you know, this is hearing or this is seeing, you know, or this is feeling or this is touching, yeah, or this is nice or this is not so nice. Nobody's there who tells us, yeah. But when we come out of samadhi, you know, suddenly, oh, that was nice, yeah. So the kilesas are coming back and telling us what we experience, yeah. How stupid are we, you know? Do you need your friend, you know, to tell you what you experience, huh? If you don't know it yourself, you know, I mean, who else will know it, yeah? And the kilesas, the kilesas make a guessing game of what you experience, yeah? It's not the same as the real experience, yeah? But we live in this world, you know, we live, yeah? for me, you know, I mean, it's a very nice comparison if anybody has played any video games, yeah? I mean, that is what our life is, yeah? It is a video game called life, yeah? We go in, we take on a personality, we play this game, and we adhere to the rules, you know, the rules of our society, of this society, the French society, the Australian society, the German society. We play with the rules, yeah? And we try to advance, you know, our personality or advance this and advance that. At the end of our life, it's called end of game, yeah? And then we start over again. Yeah? Just like, I mean, I find it so interesting when people are playing these video games. You know, I mean, the moment it stops, you know, they want to do it again, and it again, and again. And that is the same thing with our, you know, with our person, with our, you know, we want to be born again and do this and then do this. In the next life, you know, we want to become a teacher, then we want to be... the president of this or the president of this, or we want to become a farmer, or we want to become a recluse, or we want to be, some of us, you know, want to be a male and some of us want to be a female, you know, whatever, yeah? And then this is over and then we play another game, you know? I mean, people can't stop playing these games, yeah? And we play this game, you know, I mean, we don't call it a game, yeah? But it is very similar to these video games, yeah? And it was only, and there's only one person, you know, who told us about it, and that was the Lord Buddha. He told us the way out of this hamster wheel. Yeah? That's another example. You know, I mean, we are running and running and running, doing and doing and doing. Yeah? There's no end of us doing it. Yeah? And we run around, you know, but when you look at the hamster in the hamster wheel, it doesn't go anywhere. Huh? But it is not clear to us. It has not sunk in, yeah? I mean, it you know, I mean, we tried, we understand it, you know, in our brain, but it has not sunk into our heart, yeah? Because if it sinks into our heart, I mean, there is no way that we can stay there. Yeah, we have to open the door and get out of this hamster wheel. Yeah. But then, it's so difficult. Oh, let me rest for a while. Yeah. I mean, the kilesas are constantly, they're constantly nagging. Yeah. They are like little children, you know. I mean, if you've seen little children, they want this, they want to know this, they want to know that. They want, just see them, you know, if you go into a shopping mall and the little, I haven't seen it in Thailand so much, you know, but in the West, yeah. I mean, the little children, you know, want to pick this chocolate or that or this or that, you know. And if the mother doesn't give it, they cry, yeah. And that is the same thing as our kilesas. When we don't give them what they want, they cry, you know. They make us miserable, yeah. But if we let them cry, you know, they sooner or later will stop because they don't get what they want, yeah. Then they look for something else, yeah. And that is constantly bothering us, constantly haunting us, yeah. But we are so used to it because we have them since we are born, so we think, you know, this is normal. No, it is not normal. And the only way, you know, to find the way out, you know, is following the teaching of the Lord Buddha. And that is the fourth noble truth, seeing samadhi panya. So the keeping the precepts, when we are here in the monastery as a lay person, we keep the 8 precepts. When we are monks, we keep the 227 precepts. And when we are nain novice, you know, we keep the 10 precepts. Yeah? So this is over. You know, we just keep them. Yeah? We don't even worry about, we don't quarrel about, you know, I mean, we just keep them. Yeah? So one thing is over. Yeah? Then the next thing in that is very difficult is to investigate. Investigate the body because we are attached to this body. No matter how old, you know, of course old people don't like this body anymore because it doesn't have strength. Yeah? But young people love this body, you know, they exert themselves, you know. I mean, they go skiing and they go, what is it, parachuting and whatever, you know, whatever. Or rope jumping. I mean, there's so many things there, so many, or racing, you know, whatever. They love this body, yeah. And don't get fooled, you know, even if you get older, you're still attached to this body. Very much attached to this body, huh? And you will see, you know, when you think about, you know, when you think about the next life, I mean, you want to be born again, you know, young. Oh, it was so nice, you know, we go back in our memories, yeah? Oh, when I was 20, everything was open, yeah? Now everything is closed. Everything is closed because we are too old and we don't have this energy anymore. When we were young, we had so much energy. Every one of us, you know, especially when we come from the West, we wanted to change the world to a better place. Yeah? And has it become a better place? No. I mean, actually, it has become really worse. It has become a nut house, you know, the whole world full of, you know. So, this energy is gone, yeah, because we have become, every year we get closer to death, yeah? Huh? And then we are dead, you know, and then we look for another, yeah? Huh? New game, yeah? New game, huh? And this is so much fun, huh? I mean, how many lives, yeah? It is uncountable number of lives that we have lived. Not only as human beings, but as animals. We have been in the ghost realms. We have been in the hell realms. So most of us have been in the heavenly realms, yeah? Huh? There are 31 realms, yeah? Or 31 stages within the video game where you can advance to, yeah? Or where you can drop down to, yeah? When are we getting sick of it, and when are we going to put all our energy into one thing, yeah? Finding the way out. That is the question, yeah? That is the only thing that interests me. For people, you know, who want to find the way out, yeah? Everything else, you know, I mean, is kindergarten, yeah? People who want to find the way out, you know, I mean, they are at the right place, yeah? Because it's samadhi, yeah? So first samadhi, and then investigation. Yeah? Samadhi, we have to have the ability to enter upachara samadhi or access samadhi, when the thoughts are stopping, when the memories are stopping, where we see we are relieved of the, as long as we are in that state, we are relieved of the kilesas, and there's nobody taking control of what is happening. There are just things happening. Yeah? We need this experience of samadhi, so we have to train ourselves to get into the samadhi. When we get out, yeah, and normally I say when you can stay in this kind of samadhi for 10 or 15 minutes without any thoughts, you know, any memories arising, when you come out, then you can do the investigation of the body. Investigation of the body is to understand that the body and the citta are two different things. Yeah? We know from the teaching of the Lord Buddha there are five khandhas. Five khandhas is the body, its feeling, its bodily feeling, mental feeling, yeah? Then it is thought, then it is memory, and it is consciousness. Yeah? These five khandhas, yeah, are the toolbox of the kilesas or are the toolbox of Dhamma. Yeah? The Dhamma has the same kind of toolbox as the kilesas. But most of the time, you know, the kilesas have the upper hand on the toolbox. Huh? Yeah? It is difficult, you know, to throw them off the throne, yeah? Anyway, Lungda Mahabho said, you know, I'm in these two powers, yeah? He called it light and he called it the darkness who are fighting for the throne over these five khandhas, yeah? I mean, even Goethe said it, you know, I'm in there two souls inhabiting my chest, yeah? The evil and the good, yeah? And that is what we feel, yeah? And most of the time, you know, the evil or the bad things, you know, the darkness or avijja has a power over us, yeah? And that, you know, the avijja, yeah? When you think about it, you know, that is the mastermind behind all it. Avijja, yeah? Not knowing, but wanting to know. This wanting to know, this wanting to understand is part of avijja. We want to know, we see something, we want to know, well, what is the name of this, what is the name of this, how did this get on, this is get on. Yeah, this is the avijja. Wanting to know, but not being able to know in line with the truth. It can come close to the truth, but it's never in line with the truth. Yeah, it's not the full truth. And wanting to understand, but not being able to understand. Because the only knowing and the only understanding takes place in the heart, where there are no kilesas. Eh? That's why we have to teach the heart. We have to teach the heart you to understand. Eh? And that goes without thinking. Yeah? That is the problem. Because we try, you know, we are so brought up, yeah, to solve all problems with thoughts. Yeah? But we cannot solve, yeah. I mean, when we look at our life, we never could solve our problems with thoughts. We could solve our problems with actions, yeah? I mean, by talking or by changing something, you know, doing physical action. But we never could solve our problems with thought, yeah? But we try it. We love it, yeah? No. The problem is solved in our heart. Once a heart sees it, you know, what it's doing, yeah? And if it sees it often enough, then it realizes, that's not good. And once the heart understands it's not good, it will not do it again. Never, ever. Because it has understood. But we only know the understanding, the mental understanding, this is not good for us, yeah? But the heart has not understood it. It still wants to do, yeah? Just like a drinker, you know, alcoholic, you know, I mean, who stopped, you know, alcohol or drug, you know, who stopped these things. The heart still longs for it. The heart still longs for it, yeah? Because it has not understood, you know, the adverse effects on it, yeah? It has not understood the danger, yeah? So we have to teach the heart, yeah? And to teach the heart, we have to omit, you know, the thinking, yeah? And so we have to show the heart, yeah? So we have to show, for instance, the heart that the body and the citta are two different things, yeah? So we have to cut up our body, you know, lay it in front of us, you know, and look at it, yeah? And once all the parts of the body are out there, what is sitting there? What is seeing this? Huh? You have to visualize it, yeah? I mean, only when you can visualize it, you know, when you can really visualize it, all the parts here, you know, you see your hand, you see your lower arm, you see your upper arm, you know, you see your torso, upper torso, down torso, you know, legs, yeah, all orderly or in a heap, yeah. When you see all the parts are out, you know, even the brain, you can look at it and take it out, yeah. That, what's that, yeah, take it out. And when all the things are out, yeah, there's something sitting there who does this work, yeah. And sooner or later, you know, it depends on how often you do it, you know, it will cut loose, you know, for a moment it will cut loose and it will separate itself out from the body, yeah. Ja, Thorsten. Was? Ja. Ja, just check. This is one part that is important, you know, it is, some people call it the second fetter, I call it the third fetter. Yeah? The second fetter is not believing in, no, that is the first fetter. The second fetter is not adhering to the precepts, yeah? Not following the precepts, breaking them, then taking them, breaking them, and then taking them. The first fetter, not to believe in heaven and hell, yeah? And not to believe in karma, not believe that there are beings in heaven and beings in hell. That is, actually, you know, for the Western mind, this is a problem, yeah. This is a strong fetter, yeah. Believing in ghosts, you know, believing in heavenly beings, yeah. I mean, what we don't see, I mean, we are all brought up very materialistic, so I mean, whatever we can't see with our eyes don't exist, yeah. I mean, there are little children, you know, who can see devas, you know. I mean, it is very easy for them to see devas, yeah. But the look in the tree, there's a deva, yeah. That's a Rukha deva, yeah. And the mother, what does the mother say, or the father? Don't be crazy, yeah. There's nothing there, yeah. And then the child learns the same thing, you know, and then it forgets, you know. It loses its tendency, you know, to see other beings, yeah. And so we don't believe it, yeah. Whatever we don't see with our eyes don't exist, yeah. And we have been brought up, you know, every one of us, yeah. So this is a fetter, you know, especially for the Western mind, yeah. For the Asians, they are more accustomed, yeah. They know, you know, they are brought up, you know, they are brought up with heaven and hell, you know, and beings and devas and ghosts, yeah. So they start to believe, they tend to believe more, yeah. So for us, as coming from the West, this is a strong fetter. But if we overcome it, you know, that's the first fetter. The second fetter is not keeping the precepts and then keeping them and not keeping them, constantly fiddling around with the precepts. Huh? And the third fetter is that we believe that the body, yeah, or think that the body is me. And that is one of the examples. I mean, the Lord Buddha gave the example, you know, I mean, he used the cart, yeah. I mean, if you disassemble a cart, yeah, I mean, into plank nuts and bolts and, you know, and wheels, you know, where's the cart? Yeah, there's no cart. Yeah? But the moment you assemble it back on, you know, there's the cart. And that is the same thing, you know, and for me, you know, I took the body, you know, disassemble it. So where's the body? There's no body. There are body parts everywhere, yeah, but there's no body, yeah. And it has nothing to do with me, yeah. And then the moment you take back one of the body parts, you know, suddenly the eye appears again. Yeah? And then you take it out, you know, and the eye disappears, you know, and then you take it on, you know, and the eye, until the citta, yeah, understands it. Yeah? I mean, we are so easily to understand that we are not the body. But this understanding takes place in the brain, yeah. I mean, it's useless, huh? It is completely useless. Whatever we understand in the brain is completely useless. The heart has to understand it, because the heart is the only thing that can let go. Yeah. All these techniques that are taught in the West, oh, let go, let go, let go of this, we cannot let go. There's no way that we can let go. Yeah. The heart has its own mechanism of let go. The moment the heart understands, it lets go of its own. We cannot force the heart to let go. And everybody of us, every one of us, you know, has experienced it in his lifetime, yeah? That, you know, there are certain things that we don't want to do, we still, you know, we still long for doing, or we still do, yeah? Because the heart has not understood that. So letting go, I mean, I believed it when I came from the West, you know, yeah, letting go, yeah. And then one morning, you know, Lungta Mahaboy, you know, in a talk, he said, you know, there is no way that you can let go. Yeah? I mean, and then he gave the example, tell the aunt who is at the roof, yeah, that wants to go down to the floor, let go. The aunt does not know this. The aunt knows only to go one step, four. Yeah? So it goes, you know, it goes, you know, down from the ceiling, you know, down to the floor. Then it is on the floor. And that is the only thing that we can do. Yeah? We can go one step at the other step. Yeah, we can investigate this and we can investigate that, yeah? Until the heart understands. And then the heart, once the heart understood, you know, it lets go on its own accord. Yeah? We don't have any control over the heart, or over the citta, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's both the citta and the heart. Yeah. We don't have control. But we have a way how to teach a heart. And that is showing the heart, always showing the same thing. See? See what you're doing? See what you're doing? See what you're doing? But without touching. Because that is not the heart. When the moment we touch something, this is good or this is bad, the heart will not understand it. The heart has to see it without our judgment. Yeah? That's when it understands. Yeah? But when there is, this is good, you know, or this is bad, yeah, the heart will not be able to understand because the heart is a layer down from our thoughts and from our memories. Yeah? So, all this, the whole practice is teaching our heart. Open the heart, see it, look it. No, I don't want to see it. Yeah? That's how it says normally. No, I don't want to see it. It looks the other way, you know. When we show the heart, you know, the disgusting nature of the body. No, I don't want to see it. No, I don't want to see it. Yeah. But it has to see it, yeah, because we are so attached to this body, yeah. I mean, that's why we one life after the other, after the other, after the other, and we can't get enough of it. Yeah? So we have to understand, you know, we have to understand first, yeah, we have to understand first that the body and the citta are two different things, yeah. That's why I use the simile, you know, the car and the driver are two different things, yeah. The driver has the command over the car. The car cannot do anything on its own. Just like the body cannot do anything on its own if there is no driver in the seat. Yeah? That's why when the citta is gone, you know, the body sits just like a, you know, tree stump there. Yeah? Doesn't do anything. Yeah? And the nice thing is when you really go into samadhi, you will see, yeah, I mean, you're in a completely erect and relaxed position and nothing moves there. Yeah? There is no wish to move anything because there are no kilesas who want to move around. Yeah. That's when you see, you know, the citta is the commander of the body, yeah? And just like the driver is the commander of the car. Once the driver gets out of the car doesn't do anything. It doesn't go on its own. Yeah? It doesn't open the radio. It doesn't open the windows. Yeah? And it doesn't start to drive forwards or backwards. Yeah? Yeah? But the moment the citta, you will feel it when you train samadhi and you want to move, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a citta who wants to move the body. It's not the body that wants to move. It's not the body that feels the pain. It's a citta that feels the pain. Yeah? just like a driver of a nice Mercedes, you know, feels the pain if somebody comes and scratches outside. Germans. Oh, they love their car more than their wives. Yeah. If somebody scratches their car, they get really angry. You know, if somebody is rude to their wife, you know, I mean, that's okay. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so this is the path, you know, investigation of the body. Yeah. what I said before, you know, asupa practice. Asupa practice is seeing the loathsomeness of the body. The moment you remove the skin and really see it, yeah, there's nothing that you like about it. Yeah? I mean, normally, you know, quite unpleasant feelings are coming up. It is the same thing when doctors the first time open up a corpse. Yeah? I mean, what is the reaction of when they are trained, you know, that in pathology, yeah, when they open a corpse? I mean, they either throw up or they fall unconscious. That's the first reaction of everyone who trains us, yeah? Because we don't want to see actually this mess that is in this, underneath the skin. And the skin is so thin, yeah? I mean, we just remove the skin, you know, and the body still works, you know, I mean, but we don't want to see it. Yeah? We don't want to see it like that. Yeah? And we don't want to have a transparent skin either. That would be nice. would help us, you know, instantly, you know, to get rid of the attachment to this body, yeah? If you have a transparent skin. So the asupa practice, the value of the asupa practice is to get down on greed and hate, yeah? Because greed and hate are now rooted within this body, yeah? And not to bring up, yeah, to bring up this hatred that comes, you know, with seeing something that is loathsome. Yeah? I mean, everybody knows of us, you know. I mean, we all have the experience. If we see something not nice, you know, or really disgusting, I mean, we get angry. Yeah. So, we first learn how to deal with anger. Yeah? Once we learn how to deal with anger, then. Yeah? Once we are efficient with dealing with anger, then we can go into dealing with greed, yeah? Because it is the other side of the metal, the other side of the coin, yeah? Because greed and hate come in combination. Yeah? I mean, you cannot get rid of hate, yeah? As long as there is greed there. And you cannot get rid of greed as long as there is hate there. Yeah? You can only get rid of them both at the same time. Once you understand the nature of greed and once you understand the nature of hate, yeah? And this has all to do with our body. Yeah? And that's why we need to do the asupa or loathsomeness of the body investigation. Yeah? I mean, the Western mind, you know, when I was training in the West, you know, I mean, the people and the bhikkhus, you know, the monks and the lay people say, why should I make the body loathsome? Huh? Why should I make the body loathsome? No, you don't make it loathsome. It is loathsome. Yeah? You just have to see it. Huh? We don't have to make this body loathsome. We don't have to make this body ugly. When we open it up, you know, we see how ugly it is and we see, you know, the reaction of the mind to it. Yeah? It doesn't want to see it. It turns its head around. Just like when we see, you know, a heap of shit, you know, I mean, we don't walk into the shit, you know. We put our around, you know, our eyes and look at something nice. Yeah? That is our constant way of behavior. Yeah? If we see something that we don't like, we look at something that we like. Yeah? So we are not suppressing anything. We don't suppress the thing that we don't like. Yeah? We just turn our way around. And that is the same thing that we do in samadhi. Yeah? When the thought is coming, we don't suppress this thought, or we don't suppress this feeling, or we don't suppress this memory. I mean, we just turn our way. Yeah? Turn our look onto something else. We did it all our life, and why is it suddenly suppressing something? Huh? No, it's not suppressing anything. We just look the other way around. Yeah, that's what we do all our life. Yeah, and we just use this technique, you know, to get calm. Yeah? So whenever something comes up, a thought, a memory comes up, I mean, we look back at the Buddha or look back at the breath. Yeah? We don't suppress anything. It's also many wrong beliefs in the West, yeah, about, you know, how to practice that. That we are suppressing things. Yeah. No, we don't suppress things. Yeah. If you suppress things, you know, I mean, then you don't want to see them and you push them down. Yeah. But we just want to see all the things that are coming up, you know, look at it, you know, and then put it away. Look at it, put it away. Look at it, put it away. Look at it. Until there's nothing, yeah? Nothing stored anymore in our heart, yeah? And samadhi is the practice of the heart, yeah? And then when you do this kind of practice, I mean, for the first few years, you know, I mean, all the shit, yeah? All the shit that you have stored up and suppressed in your life, really suppressed, yeah? Because you avoided this situation, you avoided that situation, or you put down your anger, you know, you put down your frust. It is still here. It's still here in the heart. The moment you open, yeah, the wall to your heart, yeah, that is locked by seven locks, yeah, heavy locks, yeah, and then everything, you know, I mean, just comes out. And this you will have to accept. It is very painful. It can be very painful. Yeah? You have to accept whatever comes out of the heart. You just look at it, you know, and you put it away. Yeah? You look at it and put it away. If something is stubborn, you know, and comes often, you know, then you start to investigate it. Yeah? What is behind it? Okay. That is enough. No, that is enough for today, yeah? Hope you understand. You understand, yeah? Well, what is the name of the Korean? What is your name?
Korean name?
What is your name?
Kaejong Min. Family name is Min. Min.
Min. But what is your first name?
Kaejong.
Taekong.
Kyung.
Kyung. Oh. I'll have to ask. What are the people normally calling you? Take one.
The Dhamma name in Korea is Jongdo.
Jongbo.
Jongdo.
Jongdo. Jongdo. Oh. The Thais who do series Gaoli, you should know these names, huh?
Jongdo.
Jongdo.
See you,
Jongdo. Whatever, yeah. Do you understand English? Did you understand what I was talking about?
Yeah.
Well enough, yeah. There's another thing, you know, about training here as a monk, yeah. When you are a monk, yeah, and when I was ordained as a monk, you know, all the other monks were constantly correcting me, yeah, to telling me this you should do it like this you should do it like that, this is done like this, or this is done like that. And if somebody, you know, has an anger about somebody else telling him, you know, I mean, he will have a very, very difficult time. Yeah? But you can see it in another way. Yeah, there are two ways how to look at it. Thank you for showing me how it is correctly done. Yeah, and the way it is done here in the monastery is the same way as Lungta Mahabua taught us. Yeah, and Lungta Mahabua taught the same way as Lumpuman taught us. Yeah? So, I mean, we keep this tradition, we keep everything, you know, no matter if it is washing the bowl, if it is drying the bowl, or how we set up, you know, in the morning the sala, it is always done in the same way. And we don't want to change that. Yeah? So if somebody is not happy with this, yeah, I mean, then he has to find for another monastery. Yeah? Okay, understood. You know, I mean, when you become a monk, when you ordain as a monk, it is for Shohei and Carlos, yeah? I mean, you have to accept if other people tell you, you know, how to do things, yeah? And it will last, you know, it will last for a long time, you know? I mean, sometimes I got angry, but most of the time I could accept it easily because I really didn't know, yeah? I didn't know how to do these things, and if somebody told me, you know, how to do it, yeah. But sometimes I got angry, but I kept my anger inside, yeah. Yeah? I didn't let it out on anybody else, yeah. So, this is the training, and please, yeah, do it, yeah. Do it the way. I know it can be hard, yeah. I mean, even after 5 years, you know, some monks, you know, or some lay people, you know, even correcting me, yeah. Well, it was difficult to take sometimes, yeah. But we should take it, yeah? Because it is our ego, our conceit, you know, that brings up this anger, yeah? Most of them want to help us, you know, how to do it correctly. Yeah? Okay, understood? Yeah? Any questions? Yeah? Huh? So, if there are some questions, yeah? I hope they are short, you know, then let's answer them.
I wanted to ask if detachment to the body and its constant need for sense pleasures slowly dissolves as one practices body investigation.
Yes.
For example, does one become better at bearing the cold and hot, pain, hunger, etc. as a result of this exercise?
Yes. Yeah, what shall I say? Yes. But you have to do really body investigation. Eh? I mean, if you look, you know, if you look for these results, you know, then you have not done body investigation correctly. Yeah? You will see it. Yeah, over the time, you know, hunger doesn't affect you anymore. You can. I mean, I thought, you know, when I was fasting, you know, I mean, I looked at delicious food, you know, it didn't interest me. Yeah. So I mean, these things, you know, will slowly. Very slowly dissipate, yeah. But once in a while, you know, a strong greed can come up, you know. I mean, that is common, yeah. Even if you do a lot of asupa meditation, yeah. So, next question.
I have a question regarding right and wrong view. If a person who is practicing unethical way, even if he knows that this type of actions will harm him, but still making money by telling lies, doing masturbation frequently, filled with negativity, carrying intense anger, hate, unstable mind after doing all these things. He came to know that this is not the way of living. I have to get rid of these defilements from within to do this. I have to get to such a place where I can be able to practice the noble things and become a wise person. He's asking you to elaborate on that.
Elaborate on this, you know, I mean, he elaborated everything already, yeah. The key to it is you keep the five precepts, yeah. I mean, you cannot enter samadhi if you don't keep the five precepts, yeah. And most of the things, you know, within the bounds of five precepts, yeah. The five precepts are enough, yeah, for being able to enter the, yeah. I mean, you start today and you don't break them anymore. But this is a resolve you have to do, yeah? You have to have this resolve, yeah? And once you do it, you know, I mean, for a few days, you know, even then you can enter samadhi, yeah? You say, okay, you know, for 5 days, you know, I kept my sila, yeah? It was, I mean, remember the story of, Angulimala, yeah? I mean, he killed so many people, but he was still able, you know, to enter samadhi, yeah? Because afterwards he refrained from it. And he refrained for 1 year or 2 years, you know, for doing evil. Huh? So he could still enter samadhi and he still could get an arahant, yeah? Doesn't mean that you have to kill 990 people. Because he didn't do it because of greed, yeah? He wanted to know, you know, he wanted to know. He didn't do it out of hate and he didn't do it out of greed, otherwise he would have not gotten so far. Okay, so, next question.
I've gotten the impression that rape is worse than killing someone. Why is that so? It seems interesting that for killing, I have not heard that hell is a certain destination, but for rape, that is, is it sexual misconduct? Is it? Why is this so?
I don't understand. What?
He thinks that rape is worse than killing, because for killing, he hasn't heard that it's one goes to hell.
Of course you can. It's a sure way to go to hell, yeah? There is a sexual misconduct that sure you go to hell, and there's killing, yeah? Where you sure go to hell, yeah? I mean, there is nobody who has killed a person who doesn't go to hell, yeah? So, I mean, that is wrong view.
Okay. I do not comprehend the need to be a monk or even a nun. If it's enlightenment, then only a very sparse few actually achieve this. Why not just live a full productive life that when the time comes to go, the world's left in a better state? You do not need to be a monk to do that.
Yeah, I mean, if he loves these video games, you know, I mean, that is fine with me. You know, he can do the best that he can, yeah? I mean, it's a strange question, yeah? I mean, of course, he can live his life, you know, as he thinks, you know. But he will do, you know, good deeds and he will do bad deeds and he will have to pay for this after this life. Yeah? I mean, if you want to get out of samsara vata, yeah, or if you want to get out of the hamster wheel, Only this is only the place, you know. I mean, you listen to the Lord Buddha, you know about, you know, karma, you know, the results of karma, yeah. Why we are born is because of karma. What we experience during this life is because of our karma from previous lives. And what we do in this life, you know, we will reap in the next life, yeah? So if you understand this, you know, and if he likes this, you know, I mean, he can stay there forever, yeah? But he will, you know, sooner or later go to hell, you know, and sooner or later, you know, will be born, you know, will be born as a ghost, you know, or as a demon or whatever, yeah? I mean, he will go through all these states, you know. I mean, I don't understand what he's asking, you know. Of course, we as monks or nuns or lay people who live in a monastery, we look for the way out, we look for the door to open us into the deathless, yeah? Because we are sick of dying every day, yeah? We are sick of dying, you know, and be born again and dying and born again and dying and born again. And that's why we devote our life, you know, to the practice, you know, and some of us, you know, getting monks and some of us getting mitchis, yeah. But if he enjoys life, you know, I can't teach anything to these people, yeah. Next.
I wonder why Buddhist monks eat non-vegetarian. I read somewhere that the Buddha gave a concession because lay people who give alms may give non-vegetarian and they would feel bad. I understand and feel somewhat good about the principle. But since you can influence lay people, why monks cannot ask them to be vegetarians, at least when possible? Would that not bring down himsa, violence against animals? I thought the main principle of Buddhism is not to harm any sentient being.
Yeah, but we don't harm anything. But we cannot order lay people, you know, to eat this or to eat that. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't remember the story of Devadatta. Huh? I mean, Devadatta, you know, pronounced, we are all vegetarian, we all live in the forest in recluse, and what did the Lord Buddha told him? Yeah? Don't be stupid. That is not the way, yeah. It is the middle way, you know. I mean, vegetarian is extreme, yeah. Only meat eaters is extreme. It is the middle way. We have to, as monks or lay people who live in the monastery, or as mechis who live in this monastery, we have to be happy with the things that are given to us, yeah. We cannot ask the lay people, because it is their food that they cook for themselves that they give us, yeah. If they like, you know, meat, you know, then they give us part of the meat. If they like vegetarian, then they give us vegetarian food, yeah? We cannot, yeah? I mean, we cannot tell them, you know, what they have to like and what they have to dislike. It is their life and they have to be responsible. And it is a wrong view that when you eat meat that you harm animals. It is only the people who slaughter, yeah? Who kill these animals, who go against the precept. It's not the people who eat meat who go against the precept. Yeah? I mean, it's typical Western idealization, yeah. It's just like the idea, I mean, we can change the weather. Yeah? We can change the climate. Yeah? Who are we? We are little ants on this planet. Yeah? It's the same thing. We cannot change the people. We cannot change the inclination of people. We can be just, you know, we have to be happy with whatever is given to us. If it is not given to us, we cannot ask for it. Yeah? Unless it is food that we need for our body, that we can go and ask for alms. Yeah? If the people give us, fine. If the people don't give us, fine. Yeah? Huh? I mean, when you go as a monk on Tudong and you get only rice in your bowl, then you eat only rice. Yeah? Huh? It happened to me, you know, okay. Yeah. Then eat only rice, yeah? Whatever the people give you, yeah? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they put some salty fish in it, you know, with rice, you know? A full bowl of rice. Can't even eat that much rice, yeah? But the bowl was full, yeah? So whatever the people give us, yeah? Unless it is one that is forbidden for us, and that is animals that harm us, yeah? So if somebody gives us snake meat, you know, I mean, we are not allowed to eat. If somebody gives us elephant meat, we are not allowed to eat it, yeah? There are certain times, ten types of meat that we are not allowed to eat. Everything else we are allowed. Yeah? So whatever. Yeah?
I feel a tingling sensation at the center of the chest and slightly towards the left of the heart. I feel good though. Is it an indication of unresolved emotions?
No. It can be just if he feels well, you know, it can be just a feeling of well-being. But he should not concentrate on this. Huh? I mean, he should concentrate on this Buddha, you know, he should concentrate on this breath, you know, whatever, yeah? You're not interested what is going on, yeah? Whatever experience we have this experience, yeah? And we don't want to make out, you know, what it is and what is not, yeah? I mean, if it is a problem of the heart, it will appear sooner or later, yeah? It will come up by itself, yeah? Okay?
After 1 hour of my morning sitting, I do the assembling and disassembling of the body parts and the sugha for half an hour. If I see lust coming up when I see girls and women on the streets, I immediately stretch the skin and see my lust fading away.
Yeah.
My question is that I am observing that it is becoming a habit of stripping people and animals' skin with the intent of seeing the body parts. Is it okay to do so?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if he's practicing and if there's no anger coming up within him that he throws at other people, you know, then it's just good, yeah? If you do this kind of a super practice, a lot of anger will come up. And he has to be very careful, you know, not to let the anger out on somebody else, but to investigate, you know, where this anger is coming from. No, it is perfectly fine, you know. For 3 months, you know, I see only, when I went to the sala, I see only skeletons running around, yeah? I mean, you can put some flesh on it, you know, you can dress them up the way you want to, yeah? There's no problem, yeah? I mean, it helps reduce a lot of the greed, you know, it helps reduce especially raga tanha, yeah? Sensual desires. So, yeah? Perfectly fine.
I associate myself with sick and old people. When I see them in person, sometimes I cry because with the feeling of, sometimes I cry with the feeling of I do get old, I do get sick, I do die. I don't feel like talking to people, but my parents and a few friends said that I'm depressed. Or should I? Well, that's a question.
Yeah, I don't understand the question.
So he associates old people.
Yeah, this I understand. But what is it?
And his family and friends say that he's depressed, and probably he's asking if it's normal.
If he's depressed, I mean that it can happen, you know, if you look at old people, yeah. But I mean, he should investigate, you know. I mean, he said, you know, sooner or later I will be like this, yeah. I mean, depression is not, this is not something that you are looking for, yeah. I mean, depression is something. It is a wave. It's just like an emotion, you know. It is a mood that it has gone into him for too long. He should investigate his thoughts that come up when he sees these people. He should investigate his feelings that come up when he sees these people. Yeah, but depression is not the way to go. Yeah, I mean, if he himself doesn't feel depressed, you know, then it's okay. Yeah, it's difficult, you know. I mean, when you see this, you know, you should reflect. Yeah, yes, I'm to die. Yes, I'm to get old. Yeah. Yes, I'm this, you know, and yes, I will be sick, yeah? When you see sick people, you realize it, yeah? And there's also some anger or there's some sadness coming up. And then you deal with this sadness, you allow this sadness to be there, yeah? And then it disappears, yeah? The moment you turn away, you know, you turn away from the side, you know, it disappears, yeah? But if he keeps it on and stores it, you know, and pushes it down, then it becomes a depression, and that is not good. That's not healthy. Okay? What's the last question?
The last one's coming. I clearly understand and see the self made up because of the combination of the five aggregates.
Yeah.
My question is, who is it who wants to meditate and who is it who seeks liberation?
Who is it
who wants to meditate and who is it who seeks liberation?
It's a heart. The heart who seeks liberation, it's the heart who wants to meditate. Yeah? As I said before, there are two souls inhabiting my chest. Yeah? It's the darkness and the light. The light wants to meditate and wants to seek liberation, and the darkness wants to stay in the darkness. Yeah? It doesn't want to know. Yeah? And as long as you have not removed, you can call it as the kilesas, the kilesas are the fangs of avijja or the soldiers of avijja. They are grouped into three armies, greed, hatred, and delusion, yeah? And you have to, and they are normally tracking you all the time, telling you this is nice, telling you this is not nice, yeah? But they are also, we have to use the kilesas, we have to use the will, yeah? To meditate and to overcome it, yeah? And it's the same kind, yeah? It's the same kind of kilesa, yeah? That we use, yeah? To meditate, yeah? We foster them. We foster the good kilesas, yeah? They are good kilesas who want to go us to heaven, yeah? So they make a lot of good things, good merit, and then they can go up to heaven, yeah? So we have to use these kind of kilesas, that want to do good or that want to meditate and foster them, yeah? and turn all the bad kilesas who don't want to meditate, who don't want to do this and who don't want to do that, and turn them into good kilesas. And once they are all good kilesas, we can get rid of them. Yeah? Because you cannot get rid of bad kilesas, you can just ignore the bad kilesas, but they are still there and they are still, still making us do things. Yeah. Okay? So, long enough, yeah? No more questions, yeah? When you listen to a talk, a Dhamma talk, exhortation of Dhamma. If you listen to a Dhamma talk that comes from the heart, and then you listen with your heart, you get instantly calm. Yeah? You don't need to understand what he's saying, yeah? The heart will understand, yeah? This key, this key practice, huh? Lungta Mahabodh said, when he started, when the teacher said, the Dhamma comes from, the Dhamma comes from the heart, Lungta Mahabodh said, no, the Dhamma comes from the books. And then the teacher says, no, the Dhamma comes from the heart. No, the Dhamma comes from the book, yeah. I mean, it took him quite a while, to understand, the Dhamma really comes from the heart, yeah. But that, it takes some time, yeah. But it's a very nice way, you can listen to Lungta Mahabodh's talks in Thai, it is very difficult for most of us to understand it, yeah? You just listen, to the words coming up, yeah? When the words are coming up, yeah, sometimes, even the next word, before you even hear the sound. Yeah? That is the way how to listen to the heart, yeah? And then you understand much clearer, yeah? You don't need the languages, yeah? They are confusing, yeah? Babylon, yeah? The Tower of Babylon. Yeah. Because they didn't listen to the heart anymore, they used the languages. Yeah? And then, of course, they didn't understand each other. Yeah. Even if you use the same language, yeah? Even if you use the same language, you don't understand your friends. Or you had constantly a fight with your husband. Yeah? Using the same language. Yeah? Misunderstanding is there. If you would have listened to the heart, if you understand, if you talk to each other with the heart, you understand it. Yeah? I tried it out, with my father, yeah. Once I trained it, and I could listen with my heart, yeah. And then my father talked about this and this, but his heart said something completely different. I was surprised, yeah. He just uses, to talking about this, to say something. The heart was completely different. Yeah? I was surprised. Yeah, I said, yeah. And then I reacted to this, yeah? And then he was surprised. I reacted to the language of his heart, yeah? And then he was surprised, yeah? Because normally, you expect, you're talking about something, you expect the other person to answer to what you're talking about, but when you answer to what the heart tells you, he was pleasantly surprised. Yeah. Okay. Enough for today.